Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today's lecture for today will be the Ayyam Allah, which translates to the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from nothing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back to Him one day. And between the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and the time He brings us and He brings us back to Him, this is a period of time that is counted from part of that word Ayyamullah, which is the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a say so in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a say so in the lives before the people before us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a say so in the lives of the people who will come after us. Because all matters belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as stated in the Quran Kareem. So today, inshallah, we'll be talking about the Ayyamullah, and the Shaykh will, inshallah, continue and elaborate on what that means. Jazakumullah. The people of knowledge, when they try to elaborate on the word Ayyamullah, with the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two sayings on it. Some scholars say it is the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the day He created everything until the day of judgment and afterward. And some other scholars would say, no, it's actually 7 days like the days we have in this earth, but with different scales. And inshallah, the Shaykh, I think he will talk about the translation where it says that there are 7 days, like in numbers, the days on earth, but unlike in number, in scale or in the time period, like the days on earth. People of knowledge say the 7 days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Yawm al-Ahd, which means the promise, and Yawm al-Mithaq, which is means a promise with two witnesses or more coming to testify to that, and then Yawm al-Taqween, which is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us, and then Yawm al-Rahil, which is the day when we pass away, and then Yawm al-Barzakh, which is the period where we'll be like alive in graves, and then Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is the day of judgment, and then Yawm al-Khulud, which is the final destination. The first day is the day of Yawm al-Ahd, which is the day of the promise. It is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, and from his back He took the souls of every single human being to exist on this earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them testify that He is the one who created them, and He had no associates. And this is basically implanted in every human being. This is our instinct. We are born with that instinct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what would translate to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story where He created Adam, and then from his back He created the offsprings of Adam, and made him testify that you are our God and we should worship you. And then when the day of judgment comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not use the excuse that, well, we did not send anybody to really guide us, nor we just followed what our parents did. Are you going to punish us for following our parents? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, as we mentioned, has already taken the promise and the testimony from them that He is their God and they should worship Him. And this is something we are all, again, in instinct and born with it. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that, so we will not have any excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who created us, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who created every creatures in this world, and in other words, that we do not know about. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has say so over us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges all of humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran what it translates to, that all people pay attention, there is an example to be given. That all the people on this earth, with all their ability and all their power, cannot create flies. And if a fly comes and steals some of their food, none of them can get it away from that fly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that is showing that the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a miracle, and nobody can join Him in that matter. Unfortunately, human beings do not appreciate that. They forgot who created them and the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us testify that if He is our God or not, and we said yes, we are our God, the Godness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two parts, and I hope I'm translating this well, but basically one is the one who created, and the one that sets the legislation, and the one who has a say-so in our lives. So لَهُ الْخَلْقُ, which is creation, وَالْأَمْرُ. Al-Amr here translates as a say-so, or authority, or basically a person who is in charge of making legislations and making regulations. human being realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to, in the Quran mentioned so many times, where he told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them, who created them? And they would say, Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran, oh Muhammad, ask them, if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth and what's in between them, they would say, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all those. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you see that the plants that you eat, was it you, the one who, basically made it grow? How about the water you drink? Are you the one who bringing the water from the heavens and from the clouds? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many places in the Quran, has asked a question, is like, who is the creator? And can any of you create such a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? And the answer, of course, is no. So again, when it came to creation, nobody can argue that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all these. But when it came to legislations, we see this throughout history, that human beings thought that they had a say-so. And you find so many people who become like kings or emirs or pharaohs, and this is throughout history, that each one of them come and write their own legislation. And the purpose of this legislation is for them to guarantee that they're going to be in their position until the day they die. And in Yemen, for example, there was like more than 1,000 king. In Egypt, there used to be hundreds of pharaohs, and each and every single one of them came with their own legislations. And where are the legislations now? What happened to those legislations? How come they are not still around? How come we're not following those legislations? Because these legislations vanished when the people who wrote these legislations and enforced them over people have vanished. So human beings thought they do have a say-so when it comes to writing regulations, which is really weird and unbelievable that a human being dared to do that, because one of us, if you have a son or a daughter, you don't have, or you do not allow anybody else to raise this person with you, nor do you allow anybody to have a say-so over your kid but yourself. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us and made us, does not have a say-so over us, and we want to share that with him and write our own legislation and really not pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us to regulate our lives and to manage it? If the whole universe is running by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so can we say, okay, everything in this universe submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it comes to human being, really that law does not apply, human beings should have their own laws and not really pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, as regulation to them? Of course not. Again, this is just to show how arrogant human beings are, how they think that they have a say-so when it comes to running their own lives. So is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a say-so before you were born, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a say-so after you die, that between this period, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any say-so over you? It's not possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question in the Quran. He said, basically it's a question that really, if you think about it, it's scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where do you think you're going to be going? And the Shaykh pondered upon that and said, remember that we all are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Allah's universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned elsewhere in the Quran that I created you and I have a very good grip of you. So no matter how arrogant we get and no matter what we think we can do, we have to remember that one day we're going to die. And then when we die, we have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no escape. We are all creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there isn't another universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not control, that we can run to. We can't. We are all destined to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, because we are His creation, and to Him we all will go back. Why is it that we should let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the legislation for us? Because we human beings are ignorant, and we really don't have more knowledge of a human being more than their body, and even in the outside of their body and the body themselves, we do not have all this knowledge about. And remember, human beings are made of two things, the soul and the body. So how can a human being who does not know anything about the soul, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the soul is something of Allah's knowledge and nobody else knows about it. So how can a human being who has nothing or no whatsoever knowledge about human being's soul write legislation and write rules and have a say-so over that soul, so this soul can nourish or basically act in a certain way. You can't, because you do not know the nature of that soul. Because again, we are made of two parts, the body and the soul. The Sheikh recited some poetry, which roughly translates to that really human beings are ignorant to be arrogant and to think they are a big deal when they know one day they're going to have to die. And when they die, the only thing that will count for you is your righteousness. And this is the only thing that will benefit you. All this arrogancy people have, all this money they had, all this long life, whatever they had, is not going to help them. They will not be able to help themselves. And the only thing that will help them is their righteousness and what they have gathered in this earth or in this world for the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the secret of the soul in our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has control our heart and over our hearts. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that there is a piece of meat in a human being body. If this piece of meat is good, then the whole body is good. And if it's bad, the whole body is ruined. And this is the heart. And good and bad here means in the sense of being a good hearted person that is a mu'min or a Muslim inshallah, or being an ill hearted person, being a munafiq or a kafir or a'yadu billah. And this is again, this is the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us, in the heart, that we do not have any say-so over the soul, we do not have any control over it. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are emphasizing that fact. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes between a person and their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran prior to this, actually the introduction of this ayah, that all you who believe, come to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to what will make you alive. And here means that what will bring your heart to life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished the ayah by saying, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes between a person and their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that He Himself is the only one who has a say-so, and He is the only one who makes legislation. In the battle of Uhud, after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been beaten and his jaw was, or his teeth were broken, and he was actually hit, somebody hit him to where it hurt him for a whole month, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua on four people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on the Quran to teach Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teach us all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has a say-so. And the ayats, roughly I will translate them, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, you do not have a say-so. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to forgive them, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to punish them because these people have really are oppressors. And the end result is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided those four people that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua on them, and all of them became Muslims. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the only one who has a say-so. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. And we should all submit to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, say, all the say-so and all matters belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all matters belong to Him only. Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, no, there is not a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is not a bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have two things. One is to do and one is not to do. And that you can apply to your sight, and that can apply to the money you earn, and that can apply to so many aspects on your life, the food you eat. And Allah, if you do that, if you follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prevent yourself from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to do, then you have become a thankful person or a thankful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reasons for legislations with the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so we can get the most benefit out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches when to look and when not to look, when to speak and when to keep silent. Again, this is to get the best benefit from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make regulations so people can get destroyed or people can get lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the regulation so people can live the life the best way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran, where He said that I will send guidance to you, and whoever obeys it and whoever follows it, then he will not go astray, nor will they have any hardship. And those who disobey it and those who decide to go against it will make their life miserable. And in the day of judgment, we will resurrect them as blind people. And they will ask, so those people would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we used to be able to see in the life before. How come we cannot see now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I send my guidance to you, you ignored it. You ignored it. Therefore, today I ignore you. So to sum up, this is the day, prayer's day, which is the day of a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from us. Now let's talk to ourselves and let's think of to ourselves. Have we fulfilled Allah's promise? Have we done the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do? Have we made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the only authority that has a say-so and the only authority that has a legislation to be followed? This is basically in abbreviation the first day. Inshallah, now we will talk about the second day, which is Yawm al-Mithaq. And inshallah, as the Sheikh speaks, I will translate to you in a minute. The second day al-Mithaq, it's taking from the prophets, peace be upon them all. And the Mithaq is also a promise. It is also falls under the category of contracts. Except that the Mithaq has two people or more to testify with you. In other words, you can promise yourself something, or you can promise somebody that you bought something from to pay him back at a certain time. If you bring two witnesses, then this form of promise becomes mithaq. It is a degree stronger than just a promise. And this was taken from the prophets. First was Adam, peace be upon him, and his wife Eve. So there was not that many people on this earth. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to send down a full-blown religion that regulates relationship with people and their Lord and with people and their each other and people and with the world around them, because again, this is a very, very few numbered people, because Adam and Eve, as we all know, has delivered a certain number of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He sent a prophet, He would send with all the prophets agree on one concept: there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never find this in any dispute between any of the prophets. Now, there are some prophets Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that on the day of judgment a prophet will come and only he would have 9 people or less who had believed in him. And some other person will come, some other prophet will come who had only 4 people or less who believed in him. And some prophets will come who had 1 person to believe in them. And there are some prophets who will come who would have nobody who had believed in them. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to again reveal a full-blown religion for the prophet who actually had nobody believed in him, or for the prophet who had 1 person who believed in him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation, or I should say wahi, to the people, to the prophets, so they can teach the people around them how to act and what to do and certain things to their needs. And as a prophet died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another prophet, and on and on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then willed that this whole world should be brought into under one legislation and one regulation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously have made it in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it the responsibility of the people to protect their own religion. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to reveal the final religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it His responsibility to protect that religion. Inshallah, we'll talk about that in details in a minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that Adam alayhi salam has forgot what he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He sent revelations and made it the responsibility of the people to protect it, we all realize and we all know what happened to it. Nobody up until this day knows where the original Torah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on Musa is. And the Torah that they have now was found 750 years after Musa alayhi salam has passed away. And it was not even written in Hebrew, that copy they found. And it had to be translated back to Hebrew. Therefore, you find so many contradictions in it. But this is not the topic of the lecture. Therefore, we just want to mention that to you. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the Quran and when He revealed the religion of Islam, He made it His responsibility to subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect that religion. And we see that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very cautious and were very careful to memorize every single letter in the Quran as it was revealed to him. So when Jibreel alayhi salam used to reveal the Quran to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start speaking it as Jibreel alayhi salam said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him not to do so and said that do not worry about it, we will the one who will protect it and we are the one who will gather it in your heart. The reason behind the promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Quran, so everybody can be assured that there is something that now exists that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this thing has not changed nor has it been tampered with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to protect it. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are the one who have revealed the Quran and we are the one who will protect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on us to read the Quran, and He made it part of our prayer to read the Quran. And that is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting the Quran, so we always can recite it and we always remember it. And this is the only religion that in it reading the book is obligatory and it is a type of worship. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He revealed the Quran to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the ayats are finished revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa to recite it back, and the Sahaba will write it down on papers. And those papers will be brought back to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa later on, and he will verify the authenticity of them, and he will check them with Jibreel alayhi salam to make sure that what was written is what was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any piece of paper that had Quran written on it, if it has not been verified by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it has no value and nobody regards it as anything. Because if that was the case, if anybody would regard any piece of paper that had something written on it, then you will find people adding all that they want to add and writing all what they want to write and saying, oh, this is part of the Quran. But this is not what happened, because every piece of letter and every piece of paper and every piece of wood that was used to write the Quran on had to have been verified by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was verified with Jibreel alayhi salam to make sure this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Therefore Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he decided to write the Quran down, he brought two people who have memorized the Quran by their hearts. And then for every piece of paper or every piece of leather or anything that the Quran was written on, the person who brings it, it has to match what these people have memorized. And he has to bring two people who can testify that this piece of paper by itself was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to verify, and these two witnesses supposed to testify that this person had done that. There was a problem, because all this existed except for two ayats. It's in the Surah Tawbah, where a man came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he said, okay, I have this piece of paper that I have some Quran written on it, I have verified it with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I do not have any witnesses. And the people who were standing next to Abu Bakr, the three Sahaba who had memorized the Quran, knew the ayah and they memorized it. But Abu Bakr will not accept it, nor will they accept it until this person goes back and brings two witnesses. And it just so happened that two people came forward and they testified and they swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam testified for that person who had the piece of paper that his testimony is equivalent to two testimonies. At that condition, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu accepted this piece of paper. And that just to show you how careful the Sahaba were in gathering the Quran. Remember, this piece of paper, the ayats were written on the piece of paper the Sahaba memorized already. But they did not want to leave any room for doubt. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the Sahaba used to know the Quran by heart. They used to recite it every 3 days, we will finish reciting the Quran. And even some of them will recite it in one night. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he narrated a story where his father had basically found him a wife. And when he got married, in the first night he decided to pray two rak'ahs as it is the sunnah for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of wedding. And then he started from the beginning of the Quran and he did not finish until he has finished the Quran that was at Fajr time. And then when his father came to check on him in the morning, he asked the lady, how is my son? And she said, mashallah, he's a great worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has not even picked up the khimar from my face, or the riqab from my face. So he went And he talked harshly to his son. He said, how could you do this in your night of wedding? And he said, I'm going to go ahead and complain to Rasulullah ﷺ about you. And when he complained to Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, read it in 30 days. And Abdullah ibn Abdul Al-As said, I can do better. And the Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, 3 days is as far as you can go. Do not read the Quran in less than 3 days. So remember, a person who reads the Quran, all of the Quran in 3 days, over and over and over again, cannot forget the Quran. And when something is recited to them, they should know if it is from the Quran or not. So the deal or the contract that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from all the prophets, that I will send you as messengers, but when the time comes when I send the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the complete and final legislations, that you all should accept it, and you order the people who are following you to accept it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, have I taken a promise from you on that? And said, yes, we testify and we have taken a promise from us on that, on those conditions. Because the Quran is a complete legislation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His wisdom, that He gradually brought people into that final stage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala little by little revealed certain legislation and certain regulations as were needed, as we mentioned earlier. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a human being, as humanity grew, and the time for the final message was revealed, what had come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran on the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is basically the promise from the prophets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will follow the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Islam, and they will order their people to follow the religion of Islam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we should all know the fact that the Islam is the final religion, and this is the only thing that will be accepted from us human beings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept Islam as a final destination, as a final religion. Therefore, at this time, no other religion is valid, nor is it accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, inshallah, will be the summation for the second day of the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, soon we'll talk about the third day. The third day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Yawm al-Taqween, which is the day of the making of a human being. And that includes from the time we were sperms until the time we die. This whole period of time is considered as one day in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to where we have nights and days so we can count the number of years that we have lived. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask us about that in the Day of Judgment. He would ask us, how many years have you lived on this earth? How long did you live in this earth? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that our answer will be, we'll say, well, maybe we lived a day or less than a day. And ask the people who have been counting. And the Shaykh shall elaborate what that meant. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have really lived for a short period of time if you only knew. Did you really think that we created you out of for no reason and you're not going to come back to us? Glory be to Allah, the true King. There is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the God of the great throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that in the Day of Judgment, He will ask people, how long have you lived? And again, as we mentioned, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained who will say that I have lived the whole day are the people who have really lived their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did everything they can do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people who actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will come out and say we have lived the whole day. And there are some people who will come and say we have lived less than a day. And these are the people who really did not do everything whereas they were asked to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also in the Quran, some people will come and swear that we only live to 1 hour. And those are basically the losers. Those are the kuffar. Those are the people who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day, basically as we speak of the day of creation and day until the time we die, it becomes the result of four more days are yet to come. And it is basically the linking chain between the promise and the mitaq, the first 2 days, and what comes after the death, which is we will talk about more in detail, inshallah. So this is a very, very critical stage in our lives, because it depends what comes after that. So if you do good, you will find good waiting for you. And if you have done bad, you will see and you will find what is waiting for you. Brothers and sisters, look into your lives. How old are you? How long will you live in this life? It's mentioned that probably the average age for our nation is 60 years, 15 of which you probably have not reached puberty yet, therefore they're not accounted for you, which leaves 45 more years, one-third of which you will spend sleeping. So how much time do you have left to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do the duties and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to do? The Shaykh is trying to get our attention by saying, oh, you who are not paying attention, meaning you're not paying attention to your life. You don't know what's going on. You probably altogether have to live 30 years. And on these 30 years depends what's going to happen to you afterward. If you do good, you will live a nice life in this life and the year after. And if you do bad, you're going to have to suffer in this life and the year after. Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, he lived to 1200 years. And when he was told that toward the end, or the last nation will live for 60 years or so, he said, if I was among them, I will build my grave, or I will build my house over my grave. And that means indicating that we have a very, very short period of time to do anything. This whole life we live, what more can you get out of it? More than some food you will eat, some nice clothes to wear, a wife to get married to, and a nice ride. What more can you get out of this life? This is all the bits you can get out of this life. Anything after that is extra. So you are basically distracted from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and distracted from doing your duties toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of these four things. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the greatest thing about this life are four things: food, clothes, wife, and something to ride. And then he mentioned by saying the best kind of food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made is honey that does not really go bad by itself, and it lasted on its own, and it came from the tummy of an insect. And the best type of clothes is the silk, which comes from the tummy of a worm. And the best type of joy you will get comes from where you usually use the same place to urinate. And the fourth is like, basically, Imam Ali translated as where you would ride on a horse and people get killed on horses. And nowadays people get killed driving their cars and, you know, and getting into accidents. So these greatest things that you're going to get from this life, they're not that great. So brothers and sisters in Islam, if this is the greatest things about this life, how much of it are you getting? The best food and the worst food, they're all the same after they pass the tongue. So should we make our whole purpose in life so we can satisfy our tongue? Because once you have swallowed that food, when it gets into your stomach, nothing matters after that. The good food and the bad food, the worst food, will be equivalent at that time. And the great kind of clothes, once you wear once or two times, they're not going to feel that great afterward. And no matter how strong you are and how powerful you are, all the lust you will get from intercourse, for the lack of better words, is not going to last more than seconds. So do we want to make legislation and fight each other and kill each other for these few seconds of lust? Is it worth it for us? So one day we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the fourth of the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we will speak. Inshallah, now we will be talking about the fourth day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the day of departure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that when the time for your death comes, nobody can help you. Nobody on this earth, not the nuclear powered countries, not the industrial countries, nobody has a say so or can help you to bring back your soul. They can't even help themselves, let alone help you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging them that this person now, he's weak and he's about to die, and you're at your prime of your strength. Bring back their life if you can. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers elsewhere in the Quran. He said, no, you will not be able to do that. And he mentioned that once the soul reaches the taraqi, which is a place right below the throat, it says once the soul reaches there, then the death basically starts. And none of you is able to help that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the whole world, who can cure this person now? Come on, it is now the person, he's weak and he needs the help. Who can help them? Who can bring them back to life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nobody. We see a doctor who is professional, he is strong, and he dies from the same disease that he used to cure people from. At the time of death, for the first time, you will see the angel of death. And nobody sees the angel of death and stays in the same shape. Their eyes bulge out when they see him, their eyebrows get lifted, and they basically get paralyzed. And Rasulullah ﷺ asked the angel of death when he went in a night journey, how do you capture the souls of all the people when you're in your place? He said, when the time for the death comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals or takes away the separation or the guard between me and them to where they can see me. And nobody sees the angels of death, as I said, and stays in the same shape they were at. Rasulullah ﷺ described to us when he saw Jibreel at the same time when he in that night of journey that he saw his head below the throne, in the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his feet in the lowest earth, the seventh earth, and he has filled what between the earth and the heavens between east and west. And this is just the description of Jibreel alayhi salam. So imagine if you see an angel of that size or that shape. Your eyes will bulge. And again, that's what we mentioned, what happens to people when it comes to their time of death, when they see the angel of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware of those who oppress us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I delay them until the day where they are, where their eyes will bulge out. And that's the Mufassirin, the people who elaborate on the Quran, they say this is the day when they see the angel of death. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this moment in the Quran, He uses the past term. And there is a linguistic issue here. In the Arabic language, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the past term for something is to happen in the future, that is indication that this something is coming. This is again, this is a linguistic matter. And some other scholars say that the time applies to human being and to all the creatures, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use the present term, He can use the past term, or the future term. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He chooses, and it all means the same to Him, because none of the laws that govern us applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same type of expressions when He talked about the Day of Judgment. He said, the Day of Judgment has come. And again, this can fall into the two descriptions that we talked about earlier, either because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, something is going to happen, Allah can use the past term, or because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not governed by any of the matters or any of the laws that we are governed by. When death comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as the intoxication of death has come. Because of what you see, you lose your mind. It's as if you were intoxicated. But there's no nothing involved more than the death itself. Because when you see all that, when you realize all that, you lose your mind. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described that and said that the intoxications of death, the time that a person goes through before they die, it's harder than a person being stabbed 1,000 times. Except for those people who sacrifice themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaheed, the people who go and fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and die. If they die, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it as if it is a snake bite, a scorpion bite. It's nothing more than that to them, because they have sacrificed everything they had for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah rewarded them by the way. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he asked his father at the time of death, how do you feel death? And his father described it as if a tree had grown inside me, and all of a sudden the leaves of that tree were turned into thorns. And at one time somebody just pulled it out, that it does not leave any place in my body, it did not hit, and it did not really peel it off. This is the description of death that Amr ibn al-As gave it to his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that say that the death that you're running away from you, that you are trying to run away from, it is coming to you. So where are the great people who were in this earth? Where are the pharaohs? Where are the kings? Where are the people, the arrogant people? Where is everybody? Where are they now? They're all in the graves. Everybody is equal now. There is no poor, no rich, no dignified, no humiliated. They're all in the same earth. They're all in the ground now. They're all dead. They're gone. The standards that apply to people on this earth no longer apply to them. They have their own standards and their own matters there. Praises be to Allah, the one who challenged everybody with the death and destroyed them with death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, how we have destroyed so many people before them. Do you sense those people? Are they around? Can you hear them? So how about you? If you cannot really lift the oppression from yourself, from somebody who's oppressing you, you think you'll be able to stop the angel of death and challenge him or even try to run away from him? Until when are we going to be lost? Until when are we going to be not paying attention? Until the angel of death comes to you and then you have no say-so and you have nowhere to run? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that when the time for the death comes, they say, "Oh Allah, bring us back and we will, or maybe we will do good and we'll try to do better than we did." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "No, it's just a word, they're going to say it." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's coming next is the barzakh and basically the four more days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to talk about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned after what he has mentioned in the Quran about the day of departure, he would say, "Awla laka fa awla, thumma awla laka fa awla," which translates to "Who to you, O man? Who to you? Who to you, O man? You, who to you?" And that is basically describes the four more days that coming after the day of the taqween, the day of the making, which are the day of departure, the day of barzakh, the day of resurrection, and the day of final destination. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one time he saw Abu Jahl, so he grabbed him and he says, "Awla laka fa awla, awla laka fa awla, O Abu al-Hakam," four times, and the man just got shaken and became really afraid. So now comes the day of barzakh, which is the day after the day of departure. Your soul is going to be either treated kindly or will be punished. Your body will vanish. If you look at yourself 3 days after you have died, your eyes have came out of their socket. Worms have started to eat your body. Your tummy is bloated. Your chest is bloated. You are in a bad shape. You're starting to smell. This is your body is going to be destroyed, but your soul is going to exist. And it's going to either be treated with kindness and happiness, or it's going to be punished until the day of resurrection. So what are we waiting for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran that the hellfire will be presented to those people in the morning and the evening, every day of their life in the barzakh until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will go to far more punishment than what just they have been going through in their lives in the graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people of Noah that they had been drowned and immediately entered to the hellfire, and in the day of judgment they will be going to the hellfire. So again, that talks about the grave punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says elsewhere in the Quran that today is basically the day when your soul is going to leave your body, you start getting the punishment. So what are we waiting for? Do you know if your grave is going to be basically a place from heaven, or is it going to be one of the ditches in the hellfire? Have we had more time, we'll talk more into details. But now we need to move on to the sixth day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we could have elaborated more, so you will give up on the life on the graves, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the same way the kuffar have give up on the life in the graves. Because of the extended period of time that they're going to be in the graves and the showing of punishment to them every day, that they wish that they will come, even if they go to the hellfire, they just want to get it over with. This earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made stable, and He put in it water and rivers, and created mountains to make it stable, that rotates around itself in every 24 hours, and all the stability that we have in this earth, one day is going to vanish, and the day of judgment is going to come, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send this destruction on this earth. And inshallah we'll talk in details what kind of destructions will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that is as an earthquake that had really never hit the earth before. Nothing a human being has seen, to the point that the earth will bring what's inside it into the surface and will throw it away. And later on the Shaykh will just talk about how this is as if you have shot a bullet into a target. All these bodies, all these bones, all these remains of a human or creatures will be shot into the place where it's called Ardul Mahshar, the land where all human beings and all creatures will resurrect from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, they ask you about the mountains, say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them to the point they will become flat, that you will not see even any grooves in them. After that, the water will cover it. and water is going to go back to its original form, which is hydrogen and oxygen. Hydrogen is a flammable subject, and oxygen helps that inflammation. And what happens is the whole earth will be turned into fire, because water is going to be turned into fire. It is simple and easy to put make water together by joining oxygen and hydrogen, but it's extremely difficult and it requires a lot of effort and scientific matters to get it to break away from that. And in the Day of Judgment, this will happen, and this whole water will turn into fire. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that we will bring everything back the way we started it from scratch at the beginning, or to its original form. And in the Day of Judgment, when the time comes, there will not be no more carrying babies, no more delivering, nothing. Everything, the whole life comes to a halt. So the earth and the heavens will not be in the same form that we know it right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, that it will be a different form for them, and we'll all present or we appear in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.